It's Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Aryan Narrations. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and today will be the third narration, probably with some commentary of my own as well, from 100 Facts About Race, which doesn't appear to be credited to any author. The copy I'm looking at comes from whiteresistor.com. Fact 53. The District of Columbia, which is approximately 70% black, leads the US in many areas. It has the nation's highest crime rates, the strictest gun control, the highest incarceration rates, the highest birth rate, and the highest death rate, the highest rate of federal assistance per capita, the highest number of welfare recipients per capita, the highest rate of illegitimacy, the highest high school dropout rate, even though its teachers are the highest paid in the United States, the highest rate of gonorrhea and syphilis. And to crown it all off, it also has the highest incidence of AIDS. Something in common there with the whole of Africa, which has the highest amount of AIDS out of any countries in the world, and happens to be about 99% black over there. Portugal. Let's have some facts about Portugal. Fact 54. Populated by white stock, the nation of Portugal rose in four centuries to be the wealthiest and most powerful country in the world. A great commercial and maritime power, it had large colonies in Asia, Africa, and America. Its seamen were the first to explore Western Africa, and they brought back hundreds of Negro slaves. Not captured by them, I'll add, but actually sold to them by other Negroes. By 1550, at the height of Portugal's power, one-tenth of its population were blacks. Today, Portugal's population is described as one of the most homogeneous in Europe, having slowly absorbed the Negro gene pool. As of 1975, it had lost all of its outside territories. Its workers are the lowest paid in Europe, and they have the highest rate of illiteracy and a high infant mortality rate. In terms of art, literature, music, science, and philosophy, the new Portugal has produced virtually nothing in 100 years, and by most standards is the most backwards nation in Europe. Keep in mind that the black population of the United States is currently approximately 13%. And all it took was one-tenth of the population in Portugal to be black for it to turn out how it has today. There's another part to the story of Portugal, actually. All their intelligentsia, all the alpha males, left for the New World. Because they had so many colonies around the world, all the best people left to go to these new colonies. So what the actual stock that they had of white people left in Portugal wasn't the very best. And of course, once you start adding Negroes to it, then that's going to destroy it completely, and it's going to have no chance of bouncing back. Let's have a look at Haiti. Fact 55. The Republic of Haiti, the only completely black republic in the Western Hemisphere, also happens to be the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. It also has the lowest life expectancy, the highest illiteracy, the lowest per capita consumption of newsprint, and the lowest per capita gross national product, and the lowest level of political stability. Fact 56. Haiti once had a promising future. Before 1789, as a French colony under white rule, San Domingo, in Haiti, was as rich or richer in productivity as all the 13 American colonies combined. It was considered the crown jewel of the French colonial system, and it was in fact the most prosperous colony anywhere in the world. Populated by 40,000 whites, 27,000 freed mulattoes, and 450,000 black slaves, and with a bountiful climate and productive soil, it supplied all of France and half of Europe with sugar, coffee, and cotton. but in 1791, the French government issued a decree ordering Haiti to give the vote to the mulattoes, and soon after, another decree ordering freedom for all the slaves. This resulted in a bloody civil war in which the entire white population, about 40,000 Frenchmen, was murdered down to the last man, woman, and child. Rape, decapitation, and mutilation were committed almost universally upon their bodies. Fact 57. After the blacks massacred the last of the white population in 1804, Haiti remained a part of Saint Domingo until 1844, when it became a separate republic. Between 1844 and 1915, only one Haitian president completed his term in office. 14 were ousted by armed uprisings, one was blown up, one was poisoned, and another was hacked to pieces by a mob. Between 1908 and 1915, the revolutions and assassinations increased so rapidly that a United States military occupation was needed to restore order. This lasted from 1915 to 1934, and thereafter followed 12 years of rule by a mulatto elite, which ended in the resumption of control by the black military in 1946. Since then, wholesale corruption and political murder have been the rule. And since then, I've lost count of the amount of times that they've had environmental tragedies over there and calling for charity and people to go over there and send money over there. The country's been bailed out loads of times. And when you think that it was so wealthy and it was providing all the cotton and the sugar and everything that was needed for France and most of Europe when it was under white rule, and once it's under blacks, it's not capable of producing anything. It's the same as North Africa. North Africa, when it was under the white Romans, provided all the food needed for the Roman Empire. South Africa used to be a first world country. That used to export food to the rest of the world. But as soon as it's in the hands of blacks, then they'll just ruin the country and expect the rest of the world to pay for it. And when it's talking about these slaves, when it's saying that there was, 40,000 slaves, I believe it said. Yeah, 40,000 whites and 450,000 black slaves. People look at slavery and think, oh, this is terrible, the poor black man. But the black man was employed. He was. It's not as if he was starved to death to work. You can't get somebody to work if they're starving to death. These Negroes were clothed, they were housed, they were fed, they were watered, they were medicated, they were looked after. The only difference between slavery back then and working today is that we get paid our wages and we have a choice of what we want to spend our wages on. Back then, there were very few shops. If you'd actually given these Negro wages, what would they have spent it on? What would they have bought? They didn't need to buy anything. They had everything paid for. And if you look at the way that we live today, so much of our money goes on paying rent or for a mortgage, for the electric, for the gas, for the water, for the travel, for your clothes. All of these things were paid for back then by the white slave masters. So slavery wasn't a bad institution. It was a good institution for Negroes, and that's why Africa had slavery as its economy for thousands of years. This is why these Negroes would sell other Negroes, why they would sell them to white people, because that's the way their economy has always worked. They know that they need looking after. They're not capable of looking after themselves, so they would sell each other, knowing that it would be bought. If you were bought by a white man, you'd be looked after well. If they were bought by an Arab, the chances are they would be castrated. And the white people looked on these slaves most of the time as if they were children. We looked on them as if they were a childlike race that just needed maturing and just needed a good example shown to them by the slave masters. And white people were the ones that got rid of slavery. It's just unbelievable the way these ungrateful blacks start demanding reparations today from white people, when if it wasn't for white people, they would still be slaves. In actual fact, they would be better off, I believe. I believe they would be better off. It's white people that weren't better off, because white people had problems getting jobs and had problems getting work, because these rich slave masters could buy a slave, and then they owned the slave for life, whereas white people wanted wages. Back to 100 facts about race, and now we'll move to India. Fact 58. India's Negroid peoples have been subjected to numerous white invasions for over 5,000 years, prompting the rise and fall of one civilization after another, as the white invaders became absorbed into the non-white masses. Then, around 1800 BC, Aryans again invaded from the northwest, this time establishing a rigid caste system, or Varna system, which means colour, which was a system of white supremacy, which eventually evolved into an integral part of the Hindu religion. Interracial mixing was banned and punishable by death. In actual fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that all evil comes from race mixing. There's no good that can come from that. The adulteration of the blood leads to the confusion of memory, the confusion of race memory, and all evil in the world. Fact 59. Led by an Aryan ruling class, classical India blossomed into a great culture, giving expression to philosophy, poetry, science, mathematics, and literature. The land prospered as never before or after. And we can still see traces of the universities that they had. They're massive universities over there. You can look them up on Wikipedia. It's far, far different to how it is today, where they're not even capable of fixing up their own sewage systems. They still shit in the street, as it were. Which is forewarned about in the ancient Hindu texts. It says in the last days, these mongrels will be living after the manner of the birds and the beasts, which basically means shitting outside. Fact 60. The caste system lasted around 2,000 years, probably longer than any civilization under similar racial circumstances. However, eventually the castes broke down due to miscegenation, and by modern times virtually no pure whites were remaining. And we have discussed this, myself and Subal, on SS Britannia a few times about what actually caused these castes to break down. Islam was a large cause of it. As we know, Islam, race doesn't exist in Islam. You can breed with your slaves and it doesn't matter if you're a mongrel. But before that, Buddhism took over, and Buddhism is very nihilistic, very nihilistic, and Buddhism sort of prepared the way for these Muslims to then come in and destroy the caste system. But if you want to learn more about it, then check out the SS Britannia episodes that I've done with Subal where we were discussing this. I believe that was fairly early on in the series. Fact 61. Today, India has 834 million people who speak 150 different languages and dialects. When the annual rainfall is insufficient, they die of starvation at a rate of 2 million to 6 million per year. India has the highest birth rate in Asia, and one of the lowest per capita incomes in the world, and an illiteracy rate close to 70%. Shocking figures, though, is when you think about the intelligent Indian doctors that you see and the intelligent Indian computer programmers that you see. But when you realise just how many people there are that actually live in India, and you realise that these alpha Indians make up 0.00001% of the actual Indians. So I believe we get a false image of what India is like from the Indian expats that we see. And the other Indian expats that we see are Pakis, and they're Muslims. So there's a big difference between Muslims and Hindus, a huge difference between them. Of course, none of them should be in white countries. They should be in their own countries, in their own territory, because otherwise our countries are going to turn out looking just like India and Brazil and these other formerly white countries that all turned brown. Let's have a look at Egypt. Fact 62. Ancient Egypt was founded and built by Mediterranean Caucasians as far back as 4500 BC. Egypt's period of greatness was from 3400 BC to 1800 BC and was characterized by its amazing architecture, pyramids, temples, and mastery of mathematics and engineering, the remnants of which are still evident today. The White Egyptians pioneered medicine, chemistry, astronomy, and law. In many cases, their achievements remain unequaled. We still couldn't build a structure like the Great Pyramid to this day. The sheeting that was on the outside of that was so thin, and it was glued to the casing stones in such a way that we just couldn't do that today. Imagine how that would have looked thousands of years ago, reflecting the sun with this plating that they had on the outside of it. It must have looked quite an amazing sight. And the actual measurements involved in that pyramid, just by chance, there's no way that it would actually happen. And it encoded in the pyramid itself is the circumference of the earth, the distance to the moon, ratio from the moon to the sun, all these sorts of things that are actually encoded into it. There's also a lot of biblical measurements that tie up with biblical dates as well. And it does say in the Bible that there will be an altar to the Lord on the border of Egypt. And when you look at the actual wording of this verse, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about the Great Pyramid. And I believe the Great Pyramid wasn't actually built by the Egyptians that were living there. It was built by other Egyptians that came in, because Egypt was a multi-white cultural empire. You had lots of different white nations, different white ethnicities that were there at first, and then eventually it fell to the brown peoples. But at first, it was different white tribes. Fact 63. Around 3400 BC, Egypt's civilization began to spread up the Nile River, bringing it in close contact with the black Nubians to the south. Soon, they were using blacks for slave labor, and Egypt became history's first melting pot. Well, I would suggest maybe Babylon was actually history's first melting pot. I guess it goes on what documents you're looking at. Fact 64. In time, the infusion of Negro blood worked itself up from the bottom of Egyptian society. The slaves were eventually freed, received political equality, and took posts of authority in government. Now, that's equal rights, human rights, humanism, liberalism, saying that these people are the same as us, we should be giving them the same rights that we've got. And as soon as you do that, as soon as they have equality, they just interbreed with the good stock, the alpha stock, the white people that kept their racial purity. They end up interbreeding with them, and the country is destroyed. I mean, just look at Egypt today. Just look at what's living there today. They have difficulty building their own houses, let alone a pyramid. And if you look at advanced Arab cities or advanced Arab states like Saudi Arabia and Dubai, and you see those great skyscrapers that they have and these great buildings that have been built over there, they've all been designed by white people. They may have got black slaves to do the legwork, but they're all being designed by white architects, and it's all white people that are in charge of the building projects. Fact 65. By the time of King Tut, 1370 to 1352 BC, even the ruling classes had been mongrelized, and Egypt began a tailspin downwards. Today, the once mighty Egypt is very much a third world country, having lost its art, its medicine, its architectural ability, and its position in world affairs. The absurd notion that ancient Egypt was a product of Negro ingenuity is now being widely disseminated in the schools. Although scholars know this is a blatant lie, they justify the deception by assuming that it will boost the self-esteem of black children. As if black children needed their self-esteem boosting. And we know that Negroes already have a highly inflated opinion of themselves that doesn't bear any resemblance to reality. And this has been proved countless times with experiments where they ask the Negro how well they think they just did in an exam, and the Negro will tell them that they got 100 out of 100, and then they'll actually look at the results, and the Negro would have got 20 out of 100. and various other experiments like that, Negroes always have a higher opinion of themselves than they actually do, yet for some reason they thought if we make up a history for these Negroes, since they didn't have one, that will encourage them to learn more. Maybe then they'll boost their intelligence. But as we can see, it hasn't boosted their intelligence at all. It's just made them hate white people all the more and invent up fantasies about white people living in caves while Negroes were flying around in spaceships building pyramids. And the proof for Egypt being white, I mean, you can look at the mummies, you can look at these Caucasian mummies that they have, you can look at the body structure of the people that are drawn in the pictures. You can look at the body structure of the gods. I mean, someone who really doesn't know much about race will look at them and say, well, yes, well, look, that's got brown skin. All those images are of people with brown skin. But that's because they were sunburned. And it's not about race, isn't about skin color. It isn't about skin color. Skin color is a small part of it. Just one of a myriad of differences between the races. If you look at the proportions of the people that are depicted in the Egyptian pictures, then you'll see that they're white, they're Caucasian, they've got Caucasian skulls, they've got Caucasian body proportion between their arms and their legs and their chests. You can see from the shape of the people that they're white. So don't get taken in by looking at somebody with brown skin. Look at the proportions, and then you'll be able to tell what race they are. And when Egypt started to turn brown, we can see that in the mosaics. We can see that the mosaics that they had at the time, and when Egypt was under Roman rule and under Alexander the Great, the mosaics that they built, you could, or created, you can see the pictures of them. They got mulatto eyes and curly mulatto hair. So you can see that the damage was already done by that time. Now let's have a look at South Africa. Now, when we look at these facts about South Africa, we must remember that this was written some decades back. So things will have changed drastically in the last 20 years since South Africa fell from under the people that created the country and built the country and has been taken over by their former employees. Fact 66. White people have lived in South Africa much longer than Negroes. There have been white settlements in South Africa for over 300 years, about the same length of time that Europeans have lived in North America. Even 150 years after the first colonies around Cape Town, at the beginning of the 19th century, there were still no blacks within 500 miles. The blacks wandered in from Central Africa later on, possibly fleeing the slave trade or due to famine. In fact, most of South Africa's blacks were born in other countries. I believe when they first got there, there was pygmies, or there was a few little tribes, but there wasn't the actual Congoid, the actual Negro, the Negroid black-faced type that we are used to thinking of when we think of Negroes. They weren't actually there, but I do think they had Bushmen there. But the Bushmen themselves and the Pygmies were wiped out by these other Negroes eating them, hunting them down and eating them. There was definitely no Negro civilization there, and it never has been a Negro civilization anywhere. Fact 67. South Africa is by far the wealthiest and most advanced country in Africa, producing nearly 75% of the continent's gross national product. It is almost completely self-sufficient, so boycotts have little effect upon its economy. In fact, most of Africa is dependent upon South Africa. South Africa is governed by a Western parliamentary republic and strictly segregated racially. South Africa grants complete self-government to the blacks in their own areas of the country. And this is written back when South Africa was a first world country, when it was still under the white people. So this must be 30 years old, this document. Things have just got worse since then, obviously. I mean, it doesn't take away from the fact that these are all facts, and you can check out the references yourselves if you want to find the article for yourselves. Fact 68. Though South Africa is perpetually criticised by the world's press for its racial separatism, its blacks live better than the blacks of any other African country and are multiplying rapidly and healthily. 87% of black welfare costs are being paid for by the white man. This includes food, clothing, training, housing, education and healthcare, even old age pensions. Don't forget, these Negroes, they had their own areas. And the greatest thing about the white people, the greatest gift that white people gave to the Negroes was police. They policed the townships. They stopped the Negroes from killing one another. And as soon as the whites were out of Africa, you see these huge wars going on in the Congo and the Hutsis and the Tutsis, and they just massacre one another and maim one another and butcher one another and eat one another. And once you have the whites there policing them, all of that stopped. All of that stopped. And the Negroes were so grateful for that. And if you look at South Africa now, they're back to doing the same again. South Africa is the crime center of the entire world. Fact 69. Thousands of South African blacks graduate from college every year, more than three times as many as in the rest of Africa combined. Every black child is within walking distance of a primary school, Africa's largest hospital, which serves blacks almost exclusively and performs over 1,800 operations per month, is in South Africa. And look at what the Negroes did with those schools that they had built for them. They burned them down. And in South Africa's hospital now, you have to bring your own hypodermic needles, your own bedclothes, your own food, your own medicine. You have to provide everything for yourself because the Negroes will just steal it if it's provided by the state. Fact 70. The blacks of South Africa own more cars than do all the citizens of the Soviet Union. So these Negroes are really making good use of the white man's technology and the white man's civilization. We had no need to give it to them. They weren't living in that part of the country. We went there and we developed the country. We developed the land. We built infrastructure, hospitals, schools, telecommunications, railways, transport, trade. We basically civilized that part of the continent. And instead of being thanked for that, and instead of the blacks saying, thank you very much for letting us in to your city and treating us so well, they demanded that they take over everything. And now it's all ruined. Now it's all destroyed. And the white people are refugees, and the white people need to come back to Europe. And our traitors in Europe won't let them come in. They won't designate them as refugees. Never mind the fact that thousands of them, these white farmers, have been butchered by these Negroes that they were so kind to years ago. Fact 71. South Africa has more black doctors, black lawyers, black professional people, and black millionaires than all of the rest of the world combined. They really didn't treat these Negroes badly, you know. They really did treat them well. And this just shows that segregation works, apartheid works, because they had more black doctors, lawyers, professionals, and millionaires than all the rest of the world combined. That means in America, that means all these countries where we don't have apartheid, all the Negroes were far worse off than they were in apartheid South Africa. Fact 72. In fact, conditions are, quote, so bad, unquote, for blacks in South Africa that the country has a tremendous problem with illegal black immigration, having over 1 million illegal foreign workers. Just like Europe today, the Negroes were dying to break in to the country and have some of it. That's how badly these Negroes were treated. A million of them wanted to break in there so that they could work for the slave master white man. Truth is far, far stranger than fiction. Okay, thank you for listening, and we'll be looking at Iceland in the next episode.